Isn't that true? Through it all, the trials, we find out the trials are the most blessed thing there is. And when you're going through them, they're the worst thing you can imagine sometime. And how could God get any glory out of this? And oh my goodness, I don't know if I can go another step. And you do get to the end of your strength. You do. And the Bible says God won't put you through anything more than you can deal with. And you realize that does not mean in your own personal strength, because he can get you more than you can deal with in your own personal strength. You will definitely get there, brother and sister. But then what you find out is that's when he picks you up and see, he says, see, I told you. I'm not putting you through more than you can deal with. I got you. And you learn that through it all, I can trust in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're grateful to be here tonight. Father, just as I come to the pulpit and your presence is here, Lord Jesus, and your believers, your saints have been singing your praises and of you, Lord, and it's just a wonderful atmosphere to come, Lord Jesus, on this chilly night here, and it's rainy outside, and Lord, we just, yet there's such a warmth and just a peace, and there's something just wonderful, Lord, to be here with believers, Lord. And so, Father, tonight now we ask that you would come again as you always do, as you promised to do. And we take you at your word that you will come and meet with us and give us what we have need of, Lord. Serve your word to us that, Lord, we can eat on your word. We can feed on it. We can gain strength that we can serve you more, Lord, that we can know you. Father, we can look around and see how crazy the world is getting, how things are just falling apart all over the place. And just the things that are just completely insane are being considered normal. And yet, Lord, we know that you are our light in the midst of the darkness. You are our satisfaction. You are our joy. You are our peace. You are our strength. You are our love. You are everything, Lord. Tonight, Lord, we want to come and offer ourselves to you anew, Lord, that you can take us and use us, Lord, to fulfill, Lord, that last bit of the word that your bride must fulfill before we go home. So take us another step further tonight. Be with the ones who can't be here tonight, Lord. Watch over them. Keep them. Lord Jesus, we just give you honor and glory and praise for what you are about to do here, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. If you turn in your Bible to Colossians, read a few verses there and be seated just to set the stage kind of where we picked up, where we left off last Thursday. We're talking about Christ and how God's great purpose, he had threefold purpose, and the first fold of that purpose was to gain preeminence in Christ, in one man, in Jesus Christ, to reveal himself through this one man, that he could use that one man to bring a body to himself. And so we're going to stay a little bit longer just on Christ himself. So in Colossians, the first chapter, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. You may be seated. Look at this one we're talking about. He created everything. Everything you can see and everything you can't see. All power, dominions, thrones. He created Satan. He created all Satan's fallen angels. They weren't fallen when he created them, but they chose to be fallen by listening to Lucifer. He created his own enemy. He created everything, and it was by him and for him. And then he says, now, I want you to understand me. I want you to understand God, who I am, because you're my family. And all anyone wants to do is be understood. Do you get me? Do you understand me? Do we connect? Do you see what I'm talking about? You know, we want to talk to someone and they don't understand what we're talking about. It gets frustrating. I'm trying to express something to you. Can't you figure out what I'm trying to say? Can't you see how I'm feeling about this? Don't you understand this? And when we can't find someone who we connect with like that, it's like, it makes you feel lonely. It makes you feel alone, like no one gets me. That's what friendship is about. That's why you marry the person you marry. That's because you get each other. You understand. You get a connection. And God said, I want to get a connection with humanity. But they don't get me if I'm this great, wonderful, amazing, eternal being. And so down through time, he's been revealing himself. Let me read what I did last week. The first thing was that God wanted to reveal himself to the people. He couldn't do it as a great Jehovah God who covered all space, time, and eternity. He could not. He's too great to ever be revealed to people because it would be too mysterious. How could that great being that never did begin, that after you went beyond the cycle of the hundreds of billions and trillions of years of light space, all out into the infinity, into the eternity, and a great creature was all that and still is? Our mind does not comprehend eternity, folks. You can think about it, you can meditate on it, but to think something that never began and never end, I'm sorry, our mind is finite. People have literally gone insane trying to comprehend infinity, trying to comprehend this God. And so all God's wanting to do down through time is reveal himself to us. And so that's what the Bible is for. That's what the Word is for, so that we could start to sort of comprehend who God is. Because in our own imagination, you know, we hear about God, our imagination, every one of us with our own thoughts are going to come up with a different being. When I was raised, the God that I thought existed was this great, big, mean, hateful, I hate saying it that way, but just a judgmental God that he is just going to smack you down if you make a mistake. You better not. You want to go to hell? You better be careful. That's who I was raised to believe God was. What a horrible misconception. Who can trust a God like that? Who can love a God like that? You can't. But that, my friends, is so much. When people try to comprehend who God is through their own religion or through their own ideas, you're going to come up with something whacked. He's going to be this soft old doughty grandpa. He's going to be this someone who just kind of stands back and watches people suffer and laughs. He's going to be something weird. And so he has to reveal himself so people can understand, because he wants to be one with us. He wants to be family. Now we're going to read a couple of scriptures. We're going to stop right there, read a couple of scriptures to make this, bring this all together. So if you just turn back in your Bible a couple of pages to Ephesians. And we're going to read, start in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. One. There is one religion. There is one word. There is one God. And the one thing we want to take out of here is one faith. One body, one spirit, as even called, one hope you're calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One faith. What is faith? Faith is belief. I have faith in something means I believe in that thing. It means if I really have faith, I'm committed to that. This is what I believe is true. This is what I want to identify myself with. This is what I'm resting on. When we get to religion, when you're talking about God's word, this is what I believe is the true word of God. One faith. All right? Now turn to John 6. Lord willing, this is all going to tie together here in a minute. John, St. John chapter 6. And we're going to start at verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Okay, let's just stop there. What an awesome question. Here are these very sincere religious people who actually believed on Jesus at that time, and they came to him and said, What can we do to please God? What can we do to do the works of God? Wouldn't you like to ask him that yourself? When you're going through your struggles and you want to be born again, or you're trying to figure out what's going on because your life is falling apart, or you want to know what God has for you, wouldn't you like to walk up to him and say, what can I do to do the works of God? What can I do to please God? What would you have me to do? How many times have you asked God something like that, a variation? What do you want me to do, God? I will do it. I just want to know what to do. And they came to Jesus and said, what can we do to do the works of God? He said, make sure you wear your hair the right length. Make sure you don't get drunk on Saturday nights. Make sure you pay your tithe. Make sure you're nice to people. Make sure you love your neighbor. Make sure you... No, he didn't. But how many people, they live their life as if that's what he had said. No wonder we're beat down all the time. No wonder we live in such a defeated state all the time. Because we know what he said there, but in our mind, we don't believe it. Oh, it's true because you believe what you do. And if you're still trying to follow some kind of legalistic idea of what it means to be a message believer, that's what you believe. He didn't say that. You know what he said. But Paul's up here quoting it. He knows exactly what he said. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. My. Now, do you really believe that? You believe that all you have to do the works of God is believe on him whom he has sent. It's that simple. But Satan gets in our religion and complicates it, because that's his job. Because if he can keep God complicated, he can keep him in a fog so we don't recognize him. And God is standing there. The prophet said, the mighty God unveiled in plain view in our day. And we put all this fog, we put this smoke up, we put all these doctrines up, we put all this religion up, we do all this stuff trying to make that God look like the God we think he is. And he doesn't look like that. Well, surely, if I do this, or if I have these attributes, or if I do that, then I'm going to recognize that's... No, it's not. Quit looking at yourself and look to Christ. Whom hath he sent? Here's the tricky part. Every Christian in the world will say, well, he sent Jesus. Exactly right. What about the people who were around before Jesus Christ came on earth? What was their works of God? To believe whom he has sent. Because he sent someone in every age, and that person who he sends is the manifestation of Christ for that age. And so now today, we all look back 2,000 years and say, he sent Christ, I believe in Christ. Do you? Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. This makes me so happy I could shout. I'm going to shout, because if he's the same, then today he's still Christ, and he says, believe in him whom I have sent today. Today, it's too simple for us, Brother Paul, because we say, I believe that, and then we say, I believe that, now look how good I'm living. Oh, it's not what he said. Because when you put that in there, your main enemy, your number two main enemy, you're your own worst enemy, but your number two main enemy comes to you and points at your main enemy, which is you, and said, oh, you did good yesterday, but today you messed up again, didn't you? He said, oh boy, yes I did. Maybe I'm not even born again. I tell you what, if you've been listening to what Brother Jerry's been preaching on Sunday, you should be able to kick that thing right in the teeth by now. If it's not, it's because you're still having trouble with this. Believe on him whom he has sent. Because Brother Jay was sent here to be the pastor to preach the word that will set you free if you just believe on him whom he has sent. You don't believe on Brother Jerry. You believe on the Christ he's preaching. You accept him as the gift that he sent to you to preach Christ to you. Wow. It just gets so simple. You better be careful. We might take a rapture here pretty soon. All you have to do is believe on him who he has sent. You want to go into rapture? Lay aside all your religion and believe on him who he has sent. See, here's the thing, brother and sister. Down through time, God has been simplifying himself. Excuse me a minute. I just got to stand here and be happy. He has been simplifying himself. Why? So we could understand it, because he knew that in the last day it was going to be so deceptive that he had to be pure simplicity for us not to be deceived. He had to be as simple as he possibly could be so we could look right at it and see Christ and not be deceived by everything else that's thrown out there that's supposed to be Christ. Because it seriously is that close. He has never been simpler than this age. He has simplified himself so much that nobody has an excuse. How does he do it? By giving the pure word, so that when you hear something besides the pure word, you recognize it as a deception. It's too simple. And Satan brings everything he can to complicate it. Well, yeah, you believe in the message, and you had to believe it this way. Well, yeah, I believe the message, but do you see this quote? Do you see this doctrine? Did you wear shoes without toes in them? Whatever, you know. What is that thing about you can't wear toeless shoes or some message? Believers believe that. Do you believe that? Do you wear a long sleeve, brother? Do you have short sleeves? You have short sleeves and shirt, Brother Gene. What's wrong with you? Well, you've seen all kinds of crazy stuff around this message. Why? Satan trying to keep it complicated. Spewing, spraying all these strange doctrines, taking quotes and spraying strange doctrines. Why? To complicate Christ? And he's bringing it down simply. Simplify. Look, back during the Old Testament, they got the law, right? And they tried to keep the law, and they tried to keep the law and failed, and tried to keep the law and failed. And then one day Jesus came along, he fulfilled the law, and you can say, this is what it was all about. He simplified it. He fulfilled it. It was no longer a mystery anymore what God wanted. He wanted that. There it was walking. They said, what does it mean to keep the law? There it was. That was it. They had a mercy seat. They had to take the heifer, and they had to burn it and use the ashes. They had to all these sacrifices, and they killed the goats and the lambs and all that, all the way down with this blood and everything. And one day, the mercy seat was hanging in plain view. It was simplified. That was what I wanted. There it is, hanging there. And they went back and God ripped the temple veil. And there he could see the mercy seat, and there it was gone. It was empty. It was no longer the mercy seat because he was hanging on a tree. And what do? They go back and sew that thing back up because they preferred their own religion. They didn't want it simple like that. It was too simple because you had to humble yourself to accept that reality. And when you cannot humble yourself to accept the simplicity of who Christ is today, you will miss it. Because you have to simplify it. You have to humble yourself to accept the simplicity. That's why people don't like Christ. It doesn't play well to our old nature, our pride. Oh my. Here's where you come to, brother and sister. He simplifies us down to simply this: only believe. Everything else is complicated. You get to the point where you only believe, and believing is having faith in the pure word of God. It's not only believe plus my doctrine, only believe plus my works, only believe plus my holiness, only believe plus my pastor. It's only believe, and to only believe means you only believe the pure word of God. And how do you know it's the pure word of God? Because it manifests itself. I have to take a rest. This is killing me. My. All the way down through time, simplifying, making it in simplicity. Brother Brandon, before he preached the seals, what did he preach? God hides himself and reveals himself in simplicity. He told us right there, when I preach these seals, don't let it be complicated. When it's still complicated, you don't see Christ. When people take this message and preach these deep, dark, mysterious messages, and people say, whoa, that's deep. You don't see Christ. He's simple. It's like algebra. Some of you have studied algebra, and you first look at it, and you think, what is this? And then you start learning. This is a law of algebra. This is a law of mathematics. This is always this way. This always means this. And what, ever so slowly, you start seeing the mystery of it. Until if you get good at it, which I never have, if you get good at it, it becomes simple. And then if someone comes and brings and says, now remember in algebra, 2 plus 2 equals 7. And you think, no, it doesn't. You can see it because algebra has become simple for you. Reading is the same way. You first started reading, you see these blocks, all these letters, you say, what a jumble. What does all that mean? I'm clueless. And then you start learning your alphabet. Oh, that's an A. Hey, there's an A right there. There's an A right there. And then there's a B, and there's an A and a B together, and it makes a sound. And you start, it starts simplifying and simplifying and simplifying until one day you can read. And you don't even think about it anymore. You just look at it and you just start reading. It's become simple. That's how Christ is. And then if someone comes to you and say, now this B makes the sound of a K. No, it doesn't. It makes a B. You can't fool me. Who do you think you are? You're not an English teacher after all. You're not a real minister after all, because that's not Christ's character, what you're telling me right now, because you're complicating him. Only believe. How often did Brother Branham have that song sung? How often did he say that? How often was that his ministry? Just only believe. And so we say, well, I do. I only believe the message of the hour. Then what is manifesting through you? The word that you believe will produce what you believe. And if it's a hybrid word, you will bring forth a hybrid Christ. You will bring forth a hybrid life. And you'll think you're right. Because you will be deceived. Like every single other person on this earth, except for the very elect. I tell you what, brother and sister, if you recognize this and you see that you see Christ and you recognize the word for your day and you're going on, brother and sister, there's no way to overemphasize how blessed you are. Billions of people on earth. And how few of them would sit there and listen to this tonight and not even have a clue what I was talking about, much less accepting it. Who would even come walking through these doors and look around and say, you mean you're going to have church longer than 20 minutes? You know, it's a popular saying, a cliche. If you can't say it in 20 minutes, you ain't got nothing to say. Tell that to the Holy Spirit sometime. And if it's just me up here with just me talking, you're right. I don't even have 20 minutes worth of anything to say. But when God's got something to say, who's going to put a time limit on him? It's just so carnal, folks. Believe on him who he has sent, and there's one faith to believe, brother and sister. There's one faith. It's not, I believe this plus that. It's just, I simply believe the word. And if you believe the word, it will produce the life that's in the word. And you're going to see Christ by looking in the mirror. Yes, sir. Oh my. Let me read a quote here. Sirs, we would see Jesus. Oh, how it would be today if the church would only stay with Christ. under the tutorship of the Holy Spirit. Never leave that word or no creed nor nothing. I'm sorry. Never leave that word for no creed nor nothing. Believe it just the way it's wrote. And men everywhere would know that you have been with Jesus also. That's how he would know it. Because if you only believe the word, then the world would know that you have been with Jesus. Why? Because you do the works that Jesus did. Don't get off on a tangent. Well, I got to go out and start raising the dead and walking on water and multiplying bread and fishes, because if that's not what God called you to do, that's not what he's talking about. You're messed up already. You made it complicated. What is it to do the works of Jesus? Believe on him whom he has sent. You just simply follow the word of the ministry God sends you, and it's going to take the gift that's in your life and manifest Christ. It's that simple. You say, well, Brother Phil, I have a gift to heal the sick. I have great faith. I'm going to heal the sick. So I'm going to go around and start praying for people and show that I have a gift. Just sit down. You're completely out of order. That be me like me going to someone's church. Hey, listen, God called me to preach. Give me a pulpit to preach in. Well, that's not what God usually calls a minister. He gives him a pulpit. You don't go and knock down the door yourself. If you have a ministry that God wants to use, God will put you in a pulpit. But today it's too bad. We kind of look to a well-trained scholar or something. That's who we think we find Christ in. We go to schools. We send our boys off to school, to seminaries, which is all right. But we find out they learn how to speak eloquent speeches and they make great talks. And they're fine men, there is no doubt, and thousands of them. And they know how to put the program over. They know how to stand on the platform. They know how to introduce Christ to the people. But you come to find out most of that, a lot of it, too much of it, it's just that man not being exactly a representative of Christ, but a lecturer. That's what we have, brother and sister. We have lecturers. They can take this word. They say, I've never been to a seminary. But you've educated yourself on the message. You know everything the prophet said. You know what the Bible says. And you even have a gift to preach. And you can get together, put it together and stand in the pulpit. And you can lecture the people. And you can put it over so they look at you and say, wow, what a wonderful preacher. But you're not representing Christ unless it's Christ who is doing the work through you. You must be born again, brother and sister. I was up in Indiana recently, and after I preached one sermon, a brother was out there, and he's been struggling some, and he said, you really been studying. You sound educated. I like hearing an educated preacher. And I said, thanks, brother. And I'm thinking, you didn't get nothing out of the service, did you? If you're looking for Christ through education, you're not going to find him, folks. He started talking about how many times God used this quote or something, or said this in the New Testament and the Old Testament and all that, and someone else come and interrupted and started talking. So I just kind of got away from that, because I don't care how many times God said this and there and whatever, because that has nothing to do with what I'm about. It's about living the word, folks. See, he's trained to give lecture. You could ask him to give a talk that would actually astound the people from his eloquence of speech and how he could hold himself. He could hold the people spellbound. You ever sit in a service like that? We get some good message preacher. He gets up there and he had just blown my mind with the neat things he can say. Just take the word and just open it up and say, wow, I never saw that before. Go out and live in adultery. Go out, his wife's living in adultery and whatever. Who cares what you can do with that? It does not matter. It's not Christ. He's impressing the people with how eloquent he can be. And people flock to it. Why? Because it's good for my pride. I can sit under a minister. My pride can sit under a minister like that because, you know what? I feel puffed up listening to that. Wow. I know all kinds of new doctrines. I never saw that mystery before. Whoa, I want to hear more of this. What is it? It's sensual and it's devilish, is what James said.
taking the message of the hour and preaching it to impress people, to get people puffed up in their knowledge. James says it's devilish. I don't care if they're quoting the prophet. It's true. We find out he learned that in a seminary somewhere where they train him how to do it. Well, you say, well, our message believers don't go to the seminary. Yes, they do. They're called message churches. The average message church is a seminary. You're being educated on the word of the message and not on the Christ of the message. The more you educate yourself, the further you get from Christ. He came down and he simplified himself, and we try to take the message and complicate him because it puffs us up. Satan loves it. He takes that and he makes it. He said, well, listen, I can explain this to you. Well, what about that quote? You say you only believe? You believe what the prophet said? Well, explain this quote to me then. Go ahead, tell me about it. Tell me about the cloud. Explain the cloud to me. How Brother Branham said he was here and he was over there and all this. Explain that to me. What's it? What is it? Satan trying to complicate Christ. Explain it, Brother Phil. I can't, and I ain't going to try to. And I really don't care. I don't. You say you don't care about the cloud? Yeah, I care about the cloud. I know what it is. I know what the prophet said it was. Well, you can't explain the rest of it. No, I can't, and I don't care to, because if I need to, God will give me the explanation. And until he gives it to me, I don't need it. I just have to believe. But how can you believe something that's not true? I believe what God has revealed to me to be truth. The rest of it, I just wait on God. If I need it, he'll reveal it to me. He said, well, what am I supposed to believe? Simply what he has already revealed to you. But there's a lot I can't explain. I don't care. I ain't here to explain anything. I'm here to preach Christ. And he is the revealed word for this day. And if he is revealing himself through this message, then the message is true. It is. Don't get all tore up about stuff like that. Well, this preacher preached this, and this one's doing this, and these people are doing that. It's Satan taking away God's simplicity and covering up with some veil of complication. Look at your faults. Why? You think you're a Christian? Look at your faults. What's Satan doing? He's trying to complicate it. Instead of saying, I believe as I believe, and look at my good works. Why do you do that? Because you're trying to cover your own faults with your good works. Why not just simply believe on the one whom he has sent, who shed his blood to take care of your faults? Do you only believe? Do you only accept the one whom he has sent? Then he has sent one with blood that covers your faults. It takes away your sin. Do you simply believe that? Then when Satan comes and accuses you, which is his job, he's supposed to do that. He can't help do that. Recognize that's just Satan. And I mean it that way. It's just Satan. He is going to be annihilated. You're not. You are going to live eternally. He's not. So when he accuses her, you just recognize he is simply a slave to do what God has ordained him to do. And you are an inheritance of the saints of life. And you will do what you were ordained to do, which is only believe. You will, because that's your inheritance. Satan can't help but accuse you. He can't. That's his nature. Tell a dog to quit sniffing. Dogs can they have like 200 more times powerful noses than humans or something. I can imagine the things they must smell. I'm glad I can't. But you can't tell a dog to quit sniffing any more than you can tell Satan to quit accusing you. It's his nature. It's his job. And then they come and tell you, well, you got to believe this. You got to follow this minister. You got to do this. You got to have this doctrine. You got to, no, you don't. You don't got to do nothing except believe on him whom he has sent. There is one faith. One faith. Don't get complicated. Don't get off of that. He said, well, what has God revealed to me? I don't know. What am I supposed to believe, Brother Phil? What God has revealed to you personally. Well, what has he revealed to you personally? I don't know. You don't? You know, the Bible says, Paul tells us, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That doesn't mean you go out and try to live good enough to go in the rapture. That means you get a hold of God and get a relationship with God all by yourself. If you care about God and care about eternal life, then act like it. Get a relationship with Christ and find out who you really are and find out what he has revealed to you. If you don't, then you simply don't care. You care more about the things in the world than finding out who God says you are. You'd rather listen to Satan tell you that you're not going to make it instead of caring about what God does God say about it. Don't sit there and let Satan beat you around. Find out. Do you care? He cares about, God cares about people who care. Well, I'm just upset about things. I don't like this or whatever. Okay, so you care about the world more than you care about God. Do you really want to stand on Judgment Day and say, you know what, God, I was there in that message church in Dixon, and you know what, I just got tore up about things, and I just kind of quit caring. He said, so do I. If you don't care, I'm not going to care. Brother Bram said, you have to care first. What is it? You say, well, God cared for me. Yeah, here's what it is. He's made the invitation. He's asked you. Do you care enough to respond to his invitation so that he can accept you? But you got to care. You have to care enough to get along with God and say, God, what is it I should believe? And he's going to say, well, first of all, do you believe I have called you? I justified you, did I not? Are you not sitting here? You didn't come here on your own. Do you care? Do you believe that I have revealed that the message is true? Do you believe I revealed to you that I sent you a prophet to bring the message so that you could be rapture ready? I believe that. Well, what else has he revealed to you? How much he loves you. How much he cares for you. How much he takes care of you. Who you are. All these little, I believe all that. Well, it's been revealed to you. Believe that. Well, what about the rest of it? Quit worrying about it. Only believe. And it's not, if I can explain, I believe all the doctrines. That ain't it. The doctrines, when you believe it, is when it's manifest and you see the manifestation of it. That's what you believe. Until it's been done that way, who cares what you believe, brother and sister? I know that sounds horrible. But if you, I believe that, you know, okay, let me go with this. Some people believe the seventh seal has been opened. All right, that's what they believe. Brother, sister, I believe it has been opened. Why? Because of a doctrine? Because of a quote? No, because I've seen the manifestation of it. I've seen that the only way Christ could reveal himself the way he is if we have the pure word. And if the seventh seal isn't open, we don't have the pure word yet. Does that make sense? Then it has to be open because we see Christ among us. Don't sit there and try and talk me into saying and to believing that the seventh seal is open because it's a doctrine you put together with some quotes. Not when it's living. You say, well, what about the seven thunders? I don't know. Well, what about it? Don't you think you need to know? I will know when it's time for me to know. That's what I mean when I say I don't care. Right now, do I not care about the seven thunders? Of course I do. But until it's revealed, I'm not going to beat my head against the wall trying to figure it out. I can't get enough air tonight. Maybe if I just calm down. If you quit pulling, I could. Of course we care about the doctrines. Of course we care about the word. But brother and sister, don't let Satan take those things and get you all complicated and trying to explain it and trying to figure it out. Just simply believe what God has already revealed to you. Walk in that light. And he will show you the next step to the next light and keep going in that same light, brother and sister. Because if you start trying to figure it out on your own, you're going to get out of the light. People look for Christ among their relatives. You say, my mother, she's been a certain member of a certain church for so many years. My father came up, and they look for Christ among their people like that, talking about their family. My family raised me up to be such and such. But we don't see Christ. We don't see it. How many people go to a message church because their family put them in a message church when they were kids? It's a good place to put your kids. They don't save them. You get to a point where they need to know Christ themselves. They have to work out their own salvation with fear and troubling themselves. Best you can do is pray for them, be a good example, put them in a message church where it's real ministry, Holy Spirit-filled pastor, and then it's between them and God after a while. Don't you let Satan beat you down if they choose not to serve God. They make their own choice. They make their own choice. And you might have been the best parents. You might have been the worst parents. It has nothing to do with it. Man, I wish people would understand. I'm not a parent. I can preach this easy. I don't know what it's like. But let me tell you something. If your child ends up not deciding to serve God, they will stand on their own 2 feet and give account for that, and you won't give account for that. You raise them the best you can, and when you make your mistakes, you repent, you go on, but they will make their own decision. You can be the best dad. You can be the worst dad. It has nothing to do with it. Brother Brandon's got kids right now that aren't serving God. I think. I better watch what I say there. The last I heard, let me put it that way. Man, I'm going to get in trouble. That's all right. Don't you let Satan beat you down about stuff like that, folks. They make their own decisions, just like you did. You know, Mary and Joseph made that mistake one time. They were good people. They went up to Jerusalem to the feast, and on the road back, they missed Jesus among them. So they saw him among other people, among their people. He wasn't found. I think that's a whole lot like today. They went trying to find where he was at. Do you know where they found him? Right where they left him. That's where we'll find him. That's where the church will find him. We won't find him in lectures. We won't find him in entertainers. We won't find him in the way we dress or the denomination we belong to. We'll go back to the day of Pentecost where he came into the church, and that's where we'll find him. Because that's where the early church left him, at the Nicaea Council. That's where he has been left ever since. Brother, sister, we've had plenty of Nicaea councils all the way down through. They just call them something different. But around the message, we have this council, we have that council, and we decide this is what we want to do, and we decide that's what we want to do. But brother and sister, it's not putting God first and waiting till you see Christ. It's deciding this would be a good idea. That would be a good idea. And then get off the word. You know what? It'd be a good idea if we just quit listening to all these preachers, because so many message preachers are wrong, and that's true. So why don't we just quit listening to all message preachers and just listen to tapes, because we know that's true. Doesn't that make sense? To a human mind, it makes perfect sense. And in God's mind, it's a denominational spirit. You're saying that I can't protect my own word by putting it in human flesh? What kind of an organized religion do you want? That's the way God protects his word, by preaching it and bringing forth the life so the real believers can recognize this is what's true. And when you do something different, you're complicating it and you're putting it into your own man-made vessel, and you have another Nicaea Council. Excuse me, I am so struggling not to say something. There's a new flyer we just got in the mail. They're sending out another tour bus. They're going to call it the Agape Tour. And they have two places so far. I can't believe I'm saying it. They have two places so far. One's in Branson, Missouri. I think one's in Dallas, Texas. And they're sending it from the voice of God. And they're going to set up and they're going to have church services. And they're going to have people come and talk to them and ask them questions and find out what this great work they're doing. And this is where they said, come with great expectations. You're going to see the mighty hand of God. You're going to see Christ. And brother and sister, all it's doing is promoting Brother Branham. It is not promoting Christ. Yeah, I'm not going to be able to go to my family reunions. I hate saying that, but it's the truth, and I tried not to say it, but he wouldn't let me go. You saw it right here. Their eyes have been burned. They complicated him. You had to go through this, brother. You had to go through this family. You had to go through this tape. You had to go through the Christ in human flesh is what you need. He hasn't changed. We have to go back to that time to get him. Go back where we left him, to where we can take his word and not add nothing to it. Don't take anything from it. Just believe it the way it is. That's the way it's written. That's the way it is. God watched over it to keep it that way, and that's the standard that we'll be judged by. You say, well, brother Phil, if that's the way it is, don't add to it, don't take from it, then why not just play the tapes? Because that way we know we're not adding to it or taking from it. You are absolutely adding from to it and taking from it when you take the ministry out of the body of Christ. You are putting your own ideas because you are trying to protect the word with your own mechanical devices. It looks so good to the human mind, and it is so wrong. I don't know why I had to keep telling you. You believe it. The Greeks, they came, they said, sure as we would see Jesus. He said, these Greeks were not looking for a lecturer on Jesus Christ. They wasn't looking for pulpit clowns. They're not looking for that. They're not looking for entertainers. They wanted to see him, the person, Jesus Christ. They longed to see him because they had heard of him. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing the word, and he is the word. They wanted to see Jesus. They never said they wanted to hear him. They already heard him. They wanted to see. Oh, hallelujah. They didn't want to hear him. They wanted to see him. Does that strike a chord with you? Does that make sense? Do you see what Brother Brandon was saying? I don't just want to hear a lecture about Christ. I don't want to just hear what he did yesterday. I don't want to just read the Bible and see what God was yesterday. I want to see what God is today, and I don't want to hear about it. I want to see it. My, it gets this so simple. I want to see these promises that were made for today manifest through my brothers and sisters. I don't want anything else. They didn't say they wanted to hear him. They'd already heard him. They wanted to see. That wasn't the question. We would like to hear Jesus. They want to see Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. And if you had to point me to yesterday, then you are worshiping a historical God. Well, Brother Phil, we raised the dead. Isn't that Christ? It might be. It's definitely the power of God. But you can be a heathen, you can be a denominational Christian, you can reject the message and still have faith to raise the dead. That is not a proof. They wanted to see Jesus. That was the purpose of inquiring, was to see him, not to have him explained. today with great intellectual messages. We can explain it till you can see the picture. Isn't that the truth? Haven't you heard message preachers preach it till you can see the picture and it looks so perfect and it looks so right? And you're just astounded. Boy, I have been. Just amazed. I said, wow. I can see the picture. It's beautiful. But that isn't what we're looking for tonight. We're not looking for the mechanics. We're looking for the dynamics of it. We've got the mechanics of the religion of the Bible so bottleized till it looks like a great big 16 or 35 coach train sitting out there on a track. But if you haven't got any steam in it, it takes the dynamic to perform with the mechanics. What we need now is to see that this, what we've been taught all these years, is it the truth or is it not? That's why so many young people that grow up in the message and they leave because all they ever saw is the mechanics. Do this, do this, live a good life, don't tell a lie, don't run around, don't get drunk, love your neighbor, wear your hair right, dress right. It's mechanics. No wonder they walk away. No wonder they're bored. All it was ever a law. That's why a lot of older people are walking away. Because all they ever saw was the doctrines and the law of it. It takes the dynamic to perform with the mechanics. And what we need now is to see that this that we've been taught all these years, is it the truth or is it not? It's been explained over and over and over through different seminaries and churches and so forth until we're looking to see who this person is. Is the message true or not? You have to know in your own heart. It needs to be revealed. And not because you understand a doctrine or a mystery or a clue or because you live in a good holy life, you got the works of the Holy Spirit or the fruits of the Spirit, I should say, living through you and you can live just a good, humble life. I've seen plenty of message believers do that and flat out reject the ministry. It's no proof. Now you say, Brother Branham, how would you do it? How would you know who this person is? Well, did you notice they come to a servant of Christ who had been trained to know what to do? Not to just say, sit down, say, wait now, you sit down here, I'll explain it. They came to Philip. He said, we would see Jesus. He said, now sit down, I'll explain Jesus to you. Let me explain the mysteries to you. Let me explain the seven seals to you. Let me explain this or explain that. That is not it. Don't just tell me about what he has done. Don't just tell me what God did to you, Brother Branham. I love to hear those. Don't get me wrong. I love to hear the testimonies. I love to hear what he did because it really helps my faith. Because I know that was a real God in our day. He's just the same. He proved that he was just the same. Just a few years ago, 50 years ago, he has proven he was just the same. And he's gone down through time up to now. But that's not going to put me in the rapture. If that's all it took, we didn't need Brother Branham. We had the Bible. It's all you needed. But obviously that wasn't all we needed. No, he brought them right straight to him because that's what they wanted to see. They said, we would see Jesus. Not, we'd like for you to explain it to us and tell us what it's all about. Tell us about the prophet. Tell us what God did during the prophet. Tell us about where the prophet went. Tell us about, let's take a tour of Jeffersonville, the different places the prophet went. There we go again. Tell us about where the prophet ate dinner. Let's go and see where he used to live. Let's go down the river where he baptized. Let's go. Why don't you just go to Mecca and see where the prophet Muhammad died? See, that wasn't the question. They wanted to see Jesus. God had someone standing there, Philip, that could take them and show them to the person, Jesus Christ. And brother and sister, if you really want to see Jesus, God will have a servant there who will take you and show you to Jesus Christ. If you can simplify yourself, if you can humble yourself to recognize, oh, it really is that simple? You mean all I have to do is accept this as being preached and let it produce Christ? When I look at my brother, I see something there. My sister, I see something there. And that is Christ? Oh, but I want to see a miracle to prove it. I want to see a sign. Didn't they come to Jesus and say, show us a sign? He had been doing nothing but signs and wonders. And they said, show us a sign to prove who you are. Don't we do the same today? Brother Jerry, I really like what you preach. I want to believe it. But you know what? If I could just feel anointing now, then I'd believe that it's true. It's the same spirit. Well, if I would see something happen on me, then I believe it's true. Well, if I could see you do some kind of miracle, Brother Jerry, or Brother Phil, why don't you do this, and I'm going to believe it's true. Why not just accept the word that's producing Christ? Will you only believe? Or do you need some kind of other scientific evidence? Do you need something to happen so that you know that it's real? See, you're not listening for the voice of God when you do that, brother and sister. The voice of God speaking to you personally, it quickens something, and we hear that little voice, but it's not enough. And so we run up to Brother Jerry, I need to be prayed for, and you were spoke to, God spoke to you. What more do you want here if he already spoke to you out there? Think about it. Why? Because the still small voice of revelation isn't enough. It's too humble. It's too simple. We want something a little more substantial. How much more substantial can you get than the Word of God? Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one speck of my word will pass away. Oh, when we get to that point, brother and sister, now you're getting ready for a rapture. Because we set aside all this other stuff. Now you only believe. It's not only believe because I felt a sensation. I only believe because I felt an anointing. I only believe because I heard Jesus Christ speak to my heart. Boy, when you get to that point and you recognize that voice and it's so small and sometimes you pass right by without all, and it barely catches you and then it brings you back. Remember what I said? Oh, yeah, that was you speaking. And then he looks over at your enemy, the Satan, and says, that's my child. They believe me. They don't believe you and all your religion. They believe me. Tell you what, his chest puffs up. He gets proud. He says, my kids. Look at my kids. Beautiful. Look at my wife. Have you seen anything as beautiful? Have you ever seen anyone as beautiful? And Satan looks at you through his carnal eyes and says, what a bunch of ragamuffins. I mean, look at this group sitting here. Look at us. Is there any beauty that you would desire? I'm not saying you're not handsome, pretty people. I'm not saying that. But compare us to the world. Go down to a church and look at the money. Look how pretty, look how dressed up. Look at all the pomp and everything they have there compared to this. And God looks at you and says, I've never seen anything so beautiful. He hasn't. He's not just trying to flatter you. He's saying, you have a character that I have never seen before. Ever in a group of people. That's what he thinks of you. You might not think of yourself that way, but he does. Tell you what. He say, well, Brother Branham, we will see him when he comes. Yes. And that's where so many Christians, they expect to see him next. That's why they're not even looking for Christ right now today the way we are. Because they're waiting until he comes to see him. Brother and sister, if that's what you're looking for, you're going to miss him. You're not going to see that because you need to recognize him right now. You need to be married to him right now. You need to see Christ now. The secret coming. Because if you don't now, you don't have that Holy Spirit, that oil in your lamp. When he comes, you're not going with him. You're not going to see that coming either. Until he comes in judgment. He said yes, but he promised that he and the person of the Holy Spirit would come in the last days and would be with us, even in us, to the end of the world. That's the Christ we need to see now. With us, even in us, to the end of the world. And the things that he did, we do also. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, there's only one way to know what he is today, and that's to find out what he was yesterday. Amen. We couldn't find him in fine lectures because we find people can stand up and explain the word in such a way it's just breathtaking. But when we find it, it's still just a lecture. It's the mechanics. We find the entertainer who can go through the actions and so forth. That still isn't it. That isn't what we're looking for. We find the religious types with the robes on and so forth. That isn't what we're looking for. We're looking for the person, Jesus Christ. The person, Jesus Christ. He says it twice just to get the point across. We are right now, today, looking for the person, Jesus Christ. If the Bible said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then he must be that, or the Bible said something wrong. And I don't believe God would judge the world by anything wrong. Then where are we at again? We're out in the muddle again because there's everything. The church says, we got it, and we've got it, and we got it, and so forth. But you, if you got it, you'd show it, the person, Jesus Christ. All everyone says, we got it, and we got it, and we're the bride, and we're the bride. But if you got it, you would show the person, Jesus Christ. That's what his whole purpose is, brother and sister, to come in Christ so that we could see Christ, so that he could take and have preeminence in a bride, and we could recognize him now. The only true way to find out what he is find out what he was, because he's unchangeable. He never changed. He has never changed. He's the same. He must ever remain the same. We have tried everything in the world to get by. Away from his plan, it still remains. He is the only way. There's only one faith, brother and sister. Man has tried to make a way to educate men to fellowship. It failed. We tried to denominate them to fellowship. It failed. God has one place, and he meets man, and that's under the blood. You must be under the blood. One faith, one Lord, one God, one baptism. By one spirit, you're baptized into the body. There's one body of Christ, and he is indwelling that body right now, manifesting himself, and that body recognizes the person, Jesus Christ, today. Let's stand. Brother and sister, you wore me out tonight. I just don't know how you have enough energy, enough air to keep going. I appreciate it. How would you like to be Jesus Christ? He comes down to his church because he's invited, and then we treat him like so many times we treat him. So many churches treat him. Come on down. He comes to the door, and they won't let him in. Or they let him in, but we're too busy shopping. We're too busy with the issue we went through today to pay attention to him. So he sits there with dirty feet in the corner, unrecognized, unloved. That didn't happen here tonight, brother and sister. I don't know if it was everybody, but some of you made him welcome. Some of you loved him. Some of you done service to him. And when he spoke, you accepted and believed it. Absolutely. He felt welcome. I can't think of a better thing to say about a group of people than to say that they made Jesus Christ welcome. Amen. My. Sometimes when I think of what you all are, it just boggles my mind. We really are those last few people at the end. Not just this church. Don't think that silly stuff. But we're part of that bride, brother and sister. Part of the bride of Jesus Christ goes to church in Dixon, Tennessee. No matter what all the detractors want to say. That's exciting. And all he asks you to do tonight is just believe. You know when Satan comes and tries to get your mind complicated and get you worried about and try to figure this out and all that? Recognize it. That's just Satan. Just come back to who you really are. I'm a child of God, and I believe. Well, explain this, and what about that, and what about that? Ain't got time for you, devil. I'm going to come over here and sing some of these gospel songs Brother Jerry told me to sing. I'm going to go here and pray a little bit. I'm not going to pray for you, Satan, but I'm going to pray for my brothers and sisters. You ever having trouble? You ever run into problems you can't get through? Just start praying for your brothers and sisters. Don't even pray for yourself for a while. You find out that, oh, I'm not that big of a deal after all, am I? All these things that tearing me up, not that important. But they are important, Brother Phil. Like I said before, as soon as you get your body changed, you come and tell me that they were important. You come and tell me that that sorrow and pain and all that grief and everything you suffered is still important. You're going to come and say, you know what it did? It put me in a rapture. Glory to God. Those trials and the pain and the suffering, it put me in a rapture. Glory to God. Lord Jesus, we just love you so much tonight. We're so thankful. We're so grateful. We can't express it, Lord. The pulsation inside that we know that's the Holy Spirit here, Lord, worshiping with his saints, loving us and taking care of our needs, strengthening us. Oh, Lord Jesus, we're so thankful. Go with us as we leave here, Father. Always be on our mind. Always be the center of our life. Always be our focus. Help us not to get our minds off anything. Lord, just right now, just the pulsation, Lord, I can't express any more close what I'm trying to express, Lord. One day, Lord, with a new mouth, with a new mind, with a new tongue, Lord, I'll be able to scream from the mountaintops. Oh, how great thou art. How great thou art. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for the word you sent us. Thank you for the prophet you sent us. And Lord God, the things that I cried out against, that you came and spoke against, Lord, the Antichrist spirit moving through the message, through the ranks of the message that your prophet said it would do within the framework of the true church, trying to make it formal and cold and powerless. Lord Jesus, Lord, it said we must recognize and withstand that spirit. And when we see you coming doing that, Lord, then we are so grateful, Father, that you've opened our eyes. We're so grateful that we care, Lord, that we are willing to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Lord, instill us a thirst in us that can't be quenched except by you. Lord, help us not to try to quench it with the things of the world, but to surrender, humble ourselves, to only believe. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just thank you in your own name. Lord Jesus, I thank you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Be in prayer for Brother Jerry. He's actually leaving tonight to go to West Virginia. He likes traveling at night. Don't blame him at all. Roads are a lot clearer. You just get on there and hit 90 miles an hour and just head off down the road. So he don't drive that fast. But anyways, keep him in prayer. He's going to be gone for a couple weeks, and you know, just to get away and get some rejuvenated and spend some time out in nature. And it's just a vacation. Everyone needs to take vacation. If you haven't taken one lately, take a vacation. We need you to take a vacation. You're getting grouchy. It's good for you, brother and sister. Jesus himself had to take vacations. He said, let's go aside. I've been working hard. It's getting too many. I need to take a break. You need to take breaks. We're living in these bodies that need breaks, brother and sister. And some of the best vacation you can take is right here. So keep doing that. I appreciate you. God bless you. Let's sing a little song as we go.